Welcome to KBPS on PRP, a show featuring local news, music, and conversations, produced by students from AM 1450 KBPS, the Portland Public Schools radio station. I'm your host, Joe Anderson. You're listening to KBPS on PRP, with your FM dial tuned to 99.1. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School, staffed by students while they learn about the communications and broadcast industry. Streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station, closely tuned into Portland, on the dial at 99.1 FM in the heart of Portland, or streaming online from any computer at prp.fm. KBPS on PRP, a new hour-long show featuring KBPS students on Portland Radio Project.
Good day, listeners, and thanks for listening to the KBPS Hour. My name is Zip, and I'll be continuing my weekly segment where I review a song from an artist's album that was released recently. This week, I'll be doing the song Sorry to Me Too by Julia Michaels. Sorry to Me Too was released on November 11th by Republic Records. Julia is a 4-time Grammy Award-nominated multi-platinum singer and songwriter. Let's take a listen to Sorry to Me Too.
I'm sorry to me too.
Forever believing you and putting my trust in you. Well, now I got no reason to. Forgiving you everything and letting you take it from me. For all the love I wasted on you. Yeah. Baby, I'm sorry to me. To me.
To me.
Oh,
22 talks about how Julia is getting over a breakup. She talks about how much trust and hope she put into her partner. That's why she says sorry to me too, because she realizes she got too attached. The beat is very quick and upbeat. It's something somber and melancholy that you can sway to while feeling the pain she expresses while singing the song. I looked at the lyrics before I listened to the song, and I have to say, I was surprised by what kind of music I heard. I thought it was going to be slow with a piano and or a violin, but I have to say I enjoy this format better. That's all for now. My name is Zip, and I'll be back on next week's KBPS Hour.
Mosque, and I'm here with
Ariana. Last week we interviewed Plata, the Latino network teacher for juniors and seniors.
And this week we are going to interview students on how they feel about attending Escalera and knowing what they wish they had known in the past.
Alright, I'm here with Escalera students, and I'm here with
Juan Zuniga.
Alright, Juan, what made you join Escalera?
Well, when I first joined in 8th grade, I was kind of scared of how high school was going to be different from, you know, middle school, and I was told that it was going to be so much harder, so I was scared, and I was looking for any outside help that I could get.
Alright, perfect. My second question is, what is your experience with Escalera?
Personally, I've only been here in freshman year, a little bit of sophomore. I wasn't in here in junior year, but I was here... I am here my senior year.
Okay. My third question is, how did Escalera help you?
Well, like I said, it helped me, like, you know, learn a little bit more about my culture, just take time out of my day to do homework, you know, and I found new friends from it.
All right. And how did you find about the program?
I was told when I first got in here that there was a after-school program that would help me, you know, for college and, you know, help me with school. So that's pretty much how I learned for it.
And any impact that Escalera had on you?
I guess it just makes me think a lot about my culture, and it's really fun. So, you know, I just really enjoy it. That's me in a positive way.
Okay. And any thoughts or comments about it?
No, not really. I'm pretty sure that's all. All
right. Thank you for your time. Hello, I'm Oscar from KBPS, and I'm here with...
Angel Castillo.
All right, Angel. What made you join Escalera?
I sort of just wanted a sort of after-school area in which I could work on homework, learn more about my culture, as well as experience extra sort of activities or events.
Okay. And what's your experience with Escalera so far?
It's been pretty good. Definitely has helped me with a few things, such as looking for scholarships, as they've given us specific time to actually do that, as well as guiding us through the process.
Okay. And how did Escalera help you?
It's given me a lot of resources which I could use, such as Plata, or as well as knowing where I could get some resources if I need them and I can't get them right here.
All right, and how did you find out about this program?
I've been in sort of a similar program since middle school, and I sort of wanted to look for something similar once I got to high school, and Escalera was the option that I chose.
And how did Escalera impact you?
It's definitely been a good place which I could sort of express myself as well as learning from others. So I would say just the general things around Escalera have all impacted me in a good way.
And do you have any thoughts or comments you would like to share right now?
Not really.
No? Okay. Well, thank you for your time. All right. I'm Oscar, and I'm here with...
Giovanna.
All right. Giovanna, what made you join Escalera?
I wanted to find a place where I could identify myself with more of my culture.
And what's your experience so far with Escalera?
So far, it has been great. I found a lot of new friends, people I can identify myself with.
And how did Escalera help you?
It's helped me develop more skills in like learning and more like self-confidence individually.
And how did you find about the Escalera program?
I remember it was my freshman year, and they came to our classroom to speak. And then I was in Ms. Popacosta's class, and I didn't really have any friends.
So how did Escalera impact you?
I feel like it did a great impact in me. It's helped me personally, and it also raised my self-confidence a lot more than I was when I first joined. It has helped me a lot. Escalera has been a great impact for my grades. It supported me a lot, classwork, individual time.
Okay, and any thoughts or comments about the program?
I think more people should join. It's a great program, and it influences you and does a great impact in a lot of different ways.
Okay, well, thank you, Germana, for your time.
Thank you.
Some students had a very positive impact on being in this program. You don't have to be Latino or Chicano to be in Escalera.
Thank you so much for listening, and we are Oscar
and Ariana on KBPS.
You're listening to KBPS on Portland Radio Project.
Going, 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 gotta roll with the punches. Going, 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 gotta roll with the punches. in. Gotta stay on my toes, never know which way they go. Oh, I'm not shy, I got the fire. Nobody's stopping me, cause I was born ready. If they knock me down, then I'ma get back up. I'm not as weak as they think I look. No, they don't see it when I throw right hook. Oh, but no, 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 I'ma leave them black and blue.
If you'd like to support KBPS on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Now through December 31st, PRP is part of Willamette Week Give Guide fundraising campaign, where donors can support their favorite nonprofits and get some awesome incentives in return. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click the big red heart.
I'm Chloe with KBPS, and I'm with
Colin Flynn.
And today we're going to talk about the car scene in Oregon. So, Colin, I know, since you're my cousin, of course, you go to Jefferson High School in Jefferson, Oregon, and you have an automotive program like we do here at Benson. Mm-hmm. And I just want you to explain, like, what do you guys do? Like, what are you doing right now? What are you learning? Or if you're just kind of work on cars and don't really learn anything, like.
Well, it's funny you ask that question, because actually right now a large majority of the students in my class in particular, there's three periods that are run each day from Monday to Friday. Wednesday is a short day for us, so we have about 30 minutes, and then each other day is around an hour for each class. So right now we're working on a Mazda truck. Me and one of my coworkers are working on this Mazda truck because we are very fascinated by Mazda and Ford and how they made the transmissions, because they're very universal. And the other students in this class are working on either floors, they're working on like Mustangs, and they're working on, we even have a Porsche in that class right now that the students are working on. It has a flat six in it. But yeah, I mean, other than that, we just, it's a very hands-on experience. It's not a bunch of just like sitting around and, you know, doing nothing.
Yeah, I've heard it here at Benson. I kind of wish I had someone here to evaluate, but I guess the new teacher like sold all the cars. They don't really work on cars anymore. They do like tuning and stuff. So that's just got, you know, kind of stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a down and a plus for us. We have a bunch of hands-on stuff, like I said. So we have a bunch of Mustangs and stuff. We have, you know, a bunch of cars to work on. But we don't really have any tuning, so actually the fact that you guys have tuning is pretty cool.
Yeah, we had a ton of cool cars. Like, I don't really want to elaborate because it's going to just be like, oh, listing off all the cars, you know what I mean? But we had, like, well, one of the cooler ones I remember was the Ford Model T. It's a 1923 or 29 or something, which was interesting, so.
Hmm. Yeah, we have a Ford GT40 or something like that.
Ain't
like,
no way. You guys got a GT in there?
Yeah, we have a GT.
That's sick.
Yep.
What, is that like your guys' like special car, you know? Like the car is just like, ain't no way, you know?
I mean, it's one of them, but the car that we have in there that's really cool is the Porsche. We have a Porsche Boxster or something like that.
Is it manual or automatic?
It's manual.
Ooh.
Yeah, but it's been engine swapped with a 911 GTR, I think. Engine, so it's a flat six.
Do you guys like have a, so here at Benson, for example, I'm going to use Benson a lot with the comparison, I guess, but I literally just showed you there's a ton of kids who love cars. They're really into the like the Japanese like cars or like the like stancing and drifting and all that. At least here, are kids into that at your school? Are they into like off-road type stuff, or like, you know, like racing, trying to be as fast as possible, or just everyone just drives like a stock piece of crap or something?
Well, I mean, out in Jefferson, it's, you know, mostly like country, so there's a lot of kids that are into like trucks and yeah, like you said, off-roading. But the main thing that people are interested in is muscle cars. So the Porsche doesn't really get a bunch of attention from the students. You know, it's cool and all, but it's, to them, it's just whatever. That the Ford GT that we have, that gets worked on quite a lot. It's got a 5.7 liter V8 in it or something like that, or maybe it's a 6.4. It makes around 800 horsepower. It has a turbocharger on it.
Damn. That's really cool, dude. Well, what's your favorite car, you know, like that you've worked on there or at home, I guess. Or even driven, like a cool, like just overall really cool car that you've like got to experience like in person.
I would say, to be honest, and I know this is going to sound a little bit weird, but the 2011 Dodge Charger is actually probably one of my favorite cars that I've ever driven, because it's so, like, you can just feel how heavy it is. And when you lay into the throttle and you crank that wheel and you do that burnout, it just feels like just raw power that is just being laid out. And it's just, it almost feels like it's more controllable than if you tried to do like, you know, a burnout in a rear wheel drive Civic that's like super light. It just, that heaviness that the Dodge Charger brings, it just it gives it that like super fun feeling of like that raw power that you're getting.
So was that Dodge like is that like a car that you guys had at Jefferson, or is that just like a car you just got the experience?
Oh, that's actually my friend's car. I've gotten taken to school and, you know, back home in it for like 2 weeks. And one of those weeks, he let me drive it.
That's really cool, dude.
Yep.
So, in your opinion, what is like the... What's like the easiest car to work on? Because you've owned... I know you've owned... Personally, which, I mean, I feel like you should be the one listing it. Like, list off the cars you've owned really quick.
So the cars I've owned is a 1996 Honda Civic LX sedan, 5-speed manual. I've owned a 2002 Honda Civic DX automatic. And then I've owned a 2000 Volkswagen Passat V6 5-speed manual.
So just right off the bat, those are two Japanese cars and a German car. And obviously, it sounds like your school... like, you know, specializes in American cars, right?
Yes, we do specialize in American vehicles. That's most of the cars that are in there. But we do have a strong, like, availability to work on, you know, foreign cars, German and Japanese, because we have two sides of the shop. Then we have, like, a yellow cabinet and a purple cabinet, and so the yellow... is metric, and then the purple is standard.
Damn, that's actually like pretty. It's pretty cool that you're like all that's divided. Your shop, I've seen photos of your shop. It's pretty big.
Yeah, we do have a pretty big shop, and then it actually extends beyond. So we have like two garage doors, and then we have a like a drive-on lift. So you like drive your vehicle onto it, and then it'll lift the whole thing up. And that's one of the garage doors, and then the other one is obviously just for like ground floor and bringing your cars in. And then outside behind the garage or the shop that we work in is a giant lot, so we have a lot of room for working on vehicles.
That's really nice. But back to my question I had before, not trying to cut off listeners who are interested. What do you think, in your opinion, is the hardest, like, I guess, country's car to work on? Right,
country car.
Well, not like country car, but like, you know, out of like German cars, American cars, Japanese cars, Korean, you know, Swedish, all that.
So basically what you're asking is what's the hardest car to work on, like for hardest make?
Yeah, pretty much.
I would say in my personal experience, probably a BMW, because they...
German cars.
Yes, German cars. I haven't really put a bunch of work into... the Passat that I own, so I don't know exactly how hard that is to work on yet. Very soon I will find out, though, because I'm going to be working on it this weekend. So, I mean, yeah, that's pretty much my answer to the question. No German cars, but mostly BMW, just because of the way that they're made, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've never owned a German car or driven a German car, but for my... hearings, BMWs are one of the, like, the worst cars to work on, but they are very luxury, and I don't think they're really supposed to be worked on, if that makes sense. Like, they are for maintenance, but, you know, people aren't supposed to do like crazy stuff people do to BMWs. I don't think that was like intention.
Like, most BMW owners like turn them into like, you know, try and make them like, you know, quote unquote JDM cars or whatever, but they're not really. Just like my Passat is a luxury vehicle with a V6, so yeah, you think of V6, like, oh, you should be able to drive it fast. It's not really what it's meant for.
Yeah. Well, I know that you're driving the Passat, which was a question I was going to ask. Which car are you driving right now? I knew, but listeners don't know. But do you want to go more in depth about how much you got it for and like... why you chose a Volkswagen Passat out of any other car, since that's normally people would choose like a Golf or like a any kind of GTI or a Jetta or something when it comes to Volkswagen, at least car people I know. So what was your decision on getting a Passat?
So basically the reason why I got the 2000 Passat was, one, because I didn't want to spend a bunch of money yet on a vehicle. I am just looking for like a temporary car. And so when I found this, it was listed for $2,800, and that is the price that I bought it for. It doesn't have a ton of miles. It's got 138,000, which may seem high, but for a V6 of this era that came in the Passat is super reliable. So it's not going to, like, you know, just break down on me or anything like that. So not only is it reliable, but it also has 5 levels of heated seats. It's got a sunroof, AC, and the heater works. It's got a super nice sound system. It's got a Boise sound system. I mean, yeah, so pretty much the reason why I bought it is because it was super cheap in a luxury sedan, and it had just got a clutch replaced, and actually I helped replace the clutch in this vehicle, so that's why I got it for such a cheap price, because, like I said earlier, it was listed for $2,800. It was not. It was listed for, like, $4,000, but I brought it down because I bought it from a friend, and I helped him replace the clutch, so.
You bought it from a friend? I thought you bought it off of, like, some, like, trashy person.
No, I bought it off one of my grandmother's coworkers. His name is Liam.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So, I mean, I know that, I guess this is kind of like a personal thing. We both know this. Again, this is like 1,000 things, you know. But viewers don't know this. So our parents, or at least your dad and my dad, are into Volkswagens.
Oh, yes. When I told my dad that I bought a Volkswagen, he was like, oh, have you told your uncles yet? Because, you know, we're a Volkswagen family. And my dad actually owned a 2000 Mark II, I believe, GTI.
Ooh, those are scarce now, aren't they?
Yeah, and it was like brand new when he bought it. So it was, you know, he bought it back in like 2001 or something like that. I don't really know exactly what year. But the one story that he keeps telling me is how amazed he was at the technology embedded inside those cars. He said that one day he was, you know, it had been like a week since he had bought it. And one day it started to rain. And all of a sudden his windshield wipers came on. And he didn't touch anything. Like, they just automatically came on. And he was just, like, really confused. And then all of a sudden, like, it started to rain super hard. And so it automatically, like, made the windshield wipers go faster and faster. And so he was pretty blown away that back in 2000 they had the technology available to have automatic windshield wipers. And when he told people, nobody believed him.
Yeah, I was like, I remember sitting in your car for the first time. And I was like, dang, this thing really luxury for like a dude. I would expect, like, so I've owned an Acura Integra before. And that was not as luxury as Colin's little Passat. Because I used to have a 2001 Integra that was basically the same thing as my Accord I drive right now, and I was honestly blown away. And in 2022 with that, my mom has a newer car, and it's not as nice as that, so it was really surprising sitting in his car and seeing how many features, little dials and stuff. Is pretty cool.
Oh yeah, the amount of buttons in that vehicle is crazy. I mean, the radio in it is like at least 50 buttons on the dash. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, that was crazy, dude.
Yeah.
So, like, what do you, like, what's a car that you want, like a goal of car, I guess you could say, to get, like, a dream car or a type of car you really want to buy?
Like, so are we talking, like, a realistic dream car or just, like, my dream car in general?
I'd say, honestly, both, like.
So for my realistic dream car, probably either a 2015 Dodge Charger SRT or a Subaru WRX. And then for just my dream car in general, probably a Porsche 911 GT, GTR or whatever.
Dude, seeing you pimp one of those out would be so sick. Wait, yeah. I remember that when we were younger. This is like a little story, you know, bringing it back. I don't remember what the camp's called, but it was in Dallas, right?
Yes, Dallas, Oregon.
All right, so we were in Dallas, and we had Dallas, Oregon.
Yes, Dallas, Oregon.
just to get it clear, but we were out there. We had at camp, you know, there's his grandparents owned a camp, and it was like, I want to say, what, like spring break,
I think so. Yeah. I think I know what story you're talking about, too.
Yeah. So they gave us, what was the car? They gave us a car. We were like eight, and we got to pimp that thing out. Like, not pimp it, but we basically drove it around, and it was in limp mode. But
I don't remember. It, honest to God, it might have been a Lincoln, to be honest. Yeah, I don't know.
It was like a Lincoln or a Pontiac or something.
It was some kind of boat car. Like, it was a big car.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely not the nicest either. It only had, like, two seats in it, and it was like a sedan, so... But we drove that thing around all the time. We drove the Kubota. We were doing everything down there. That was really fun. I think that really helped us spike into getting into cars like we are. And, of course, with Colin having his dad be into, like, all the type stuff as well, and me having, like, my godfather, who got me kind of into Honda specifically, I think that, like, the family dynamic there really helped with getting into cars, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was kind of funny because we both got into that kind of stuff at the same time. Exactly. Like, I'm looking into to UTI, the Universal Technical Institute. It's a college for basically car guys, you know what I mean? I mean, you go in there and you learn every skill that you need to go out into the real world and get yourself a high-paying job working in... auto mechanics.
That would be so dope, dude. Like, don't even bring that up. You know, get me in that, man. I'm gonna need to figure that out. I might need to do better in school, you know.
Yeah, you gotta get good grades to get into UTI. So it's a lot of hard work, but it'll pay off in the end.
Of course, of course. So to, well, I guess like now, like, what do you like with? I think what you've owned 3 cars, yeah.
Yes, 3 cars.
So, like, you've had a little bit of experience driving. What was, like, your funniest driving memory or most terrifying?
I'm just going to go with the most, like, intense moment. So, I was out in Brownsville, Oregon, and I was out there for, like, I think it was only one day. I was only out there visiting my girlfriend because she was at her grandparents' house, and so I was only there for one day. And it had rained, I think, like, at, like, 1 o'clock or something like that, if I can remember correctly. But I got hungry, so I went to go leave and get food outside of Brownsville. And so I leave, and my girlfriend is not in the car with me. She stayed behind, and I just went by myself. So, and this was when I had my 1996 Honda Civic.
Oh, no, I know this story.
Yeah, so I'm driving, and I get about halfway there, and then I find, I think it was like my intention was to go to McDonald's or Taco Bell or something like that. Those are the ones that I usually go to, but I saw Carl's Jr., and I didn't want to drive all the way out to, you know, Timbuktu to go get me some Mickey D's. That's just not really it. And so I settle for some Carl's Jr. Anyways, I get my food, and I'm heading back. And I don't know what got into me, but I was just playing some music, you know, some Pop Smoke came on. And I felt like a demon. So I started slamming some gears and obviously this, I've only been to Brownsville one time and it was this day. So I'm driving down this road. And like I said, right before I left, it was raining. So the roads were a little bit wet. So that didn't help on top of the fact that I didn't know the roads. And so, when I, was coming back, I think I was in like second gear, and I'm about to redline the vehicle, and this corner is coming up. So I lay off, and I let off on the clutch. So now there's no power being applied to the wheel, and I come around this corner, and it's like up and over, and it's an up and over curve. So I couldn't see how sharp the corner was, and I mean, yeah, I didn't even get to shift it into third by the time my wheels lost traction, and I actually, the front of my car came out and slid into this gravel, and then I did like a 180 across the street and landed in the ditch on the other side.
Did you have to get towed out of there, or could you just, like, put your car?
I sure did. I had to get towed out. A bunch of nice gentlemen in giant diesel trucks came and literally almost ripped my front bumper off trying to tow me out.
You should, I want you to tell this story about why you do not have that Civic anymore. I remember hearing about that. I was very surprised on that happening, since you didn't tell me until I asked.
Well, yeah, I don't know who you heard from that I lost. Wait, you're talking about when I crashed her or when I actually, like, lost a Civic?
Wait, what do you mean when you lost it?
Like when I had to get rid of it. Like, what happened and why I had to get rid of the red Civic.
Wait, hold on. You crashed it?
Yeah. I just told the story about how I crashed it.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that one. I'm talking about the one when you lost it.
When I lost it, right. Okay, so... actually, I was driving it to Newburgh from Jefferson, Oregon, to sell the vehicle, actually. I was getting ready to post it on Facebook Marketplace and just get rid of it. It was a bag of problems. I didn't want to deal with it anymore. And obviously, it was a bag of problems because what I'm about to say is very tragic. So I'm driving, and I get past, I think I just passed Kaiser Station, and I come up and... I'm in between two exits, so I don't have an exit to get off, and my car, like, starts making a bunch of ticking noises, and it's, like, really loud.
Like Rod Knock?
Yeah, it sounded like Rod Knock, but it wasn't Rod Knock.
Huh.
But it starts clicking, and it's my transmission, so my transmission is clicking, and my shifter is, like, vibrating, like, very violently, and so I'm like, ah... It's fine, you know? It's fine. It's old. It's a Honda. It'll make it to the next exit.
Yeah, you know, Hondas last forever except for this one.
Yes. Well, apparently not, because literally, I think 5 seconds later, it just completely, like, it felt like the... What it felt like and what actually happened is the piston, like, cracked in half, and it sent the cracked half of this piston and the connecting rod out of the bottom of the vehicle and through the oil pan. So not only did I lose all my oil, a hole in my oil pan, but now I don't have a piston in my fourth cylinder. So let me tell you something. I was not making no power no more. So I had to pull over. My dad came and picked me up. And honestly, that Civic sat there for like a week before it finally got towed away. And we towed it to the shop. And then I sold it for like, I think I sold it for like $400.
Yeah, you didn't sell it to me, jerk.
Listen, do you want a blown motor Civic?
I mean, we could do that K-swap.
Hey, you know, we could have.
But, I mean, with that heap of bad word, you know, it wasn't worth it. The transmission was going out. There was a ton of problems. He bought it for like $4,000.
Yeah, I bought it for $4,000. I got scammed.
Yeah, the dude blocked him 2 weeks later. You know, that was his first red flag, you know?
Yep. But I definitely got had.
Yeah, the same thing happened to my car. My car is a scam as well. The one I'm driving right now, my 96 Accord EX. The thing, let me tell you, that thing has no motor mounts. It's automatic, which is boring. But
yeah,
thing paints terrible. No motor mounts. Wheels don't, like, are trash. The brakes are trash. The steering wheel's trash. Like, bruh. Thing's pretty sad to drive. Well, Colin, do you want to elaborate on why you went from Hondas, since me and him are both like Honda enthusiasts? I've always had Hondas. I think I've only owned one car that was not a Honda. Wait. No, I've never owned a car.
Yeah, you own a car that's not a Honda. You have a Toyota Tacoma.
Oh, still Japanese, though, so same
well,
thing.
Oh, yeah, but...
But why did you go from Honda to not even another Japanese car, but a whole, like, different, like, cultural brand or country of brand and, like, different
a whole
brand.
Different make and model.
Yeah,
the reason why is because, well, you know, I just wanted to portray my brothers. No, I'm just kidding. But it's German cars are just a yes, they're a bag of problems, but they're so much more fun, and they're, you know, they're, like I said, my 2000 Passat was like peak of the luxury era for Volkswagen. It's got everything imaginable that you can think of. I mean, even now, like, new cars nowadays, you know, some of them don't have sunroofs, and some of them don't have heated seats, and some of them don't have this and that.
Exactly.
And sure, you know, I don't have, you know, the little lights that pop up on my rearview mirrors, but listen, if you're that bad at driving that you can't look behind you for 2 seconds, then honestly, you shouldn't be on the road.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. BMW owners were coming after you. No blinkers.
For real.
Well, dude, we should. I kind of want to talk about the our Honda situation we used to have. So
that is.
Me and Colin together, we have owned, I think, 10 Hondas.
Together, we've owned 10. I mean, I've owned two, and you've owned however many you've owned. I don't even know all the Hondas you've owned.
Yeah, we wreck them.
you blow through Hondas like it's nothing. They're supposed to last forever, but not in your hands.
So we've had first Honda we had was this night. So we've both had a lot of. Jeez. Anyways, we've had a lot of, Civics. Cords, elements, all the such. And we had he had the 1996 EX for LX, EX, whatever it was, first. And that one was pretty interesting. It was kind of a fun little car, you know, when it was, working for like first like 2 months, but
yeah, it didn't last very long.
he bought it with like, I think it had a roll cage, quick release, like lowered on like max speeding rod coilovers, had some nice rims, little Mickey Mouse light,
the Mickey Mouse.
I can't talk about that one, but
yeah, we'll just say the Mickey Mouse bird.
But we had the. It was a little EK Civic, it was really nice until, he blew it up, but... Then after that, we got the, we had the Accord, the one I'm driving right now, the 96, and that thing has somehow not died. It has an F-Series engine in it, it's stock now, I bought it stock, made it not stock, stock it again, I'm trying to get rid of it soon. But that car... I don't know how it runs.
I don't either. The transmission's not mounted and the engine's not mounted. Nope. No, it's literally levitating inside of your vehicle with magic, but exactly. It still works.
If you want to look at videos of what it looks like, go on TikTok and look at bearnaise.sauce on TikTok. You will see it. It is really funny. But we've had that's daily for me. And then for little projects and stuff we've had the 91 SI hatchback, which I actually ended up selling to a guy, a TikToker actually called That Honda Dude, local Oregon TikToker based in Salem. And I think he's actually selling it, unfortunately, right now. It did not have a title because it's a really long story, but the lady basically...
Were you able to get the documents to get the title?
No, actually. He has to do it. I think he's on the way to do it. He's selling it for like $2,000 though, and I sold it for like $500, so I got scammed. But he got it to work. He got it to work, which is beautiful. It's really exciting to see that thing drive around again, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It was in pretty rough shape when I looked at it last.
Yeah, well, I guess they just need a new battery. And it was battery specific, and we were wrong. But we thought there was electrical problems, so we were trying to get that thing out of there. But we've also had the Integra, the 2000 Integra. And we had that for like 2 days and it blew up. But we got rid of that. But we've also had the two elements we kind of just mess with them. They're not ours, of course. That's what I mean by kind of. But I consider them, I'm always out there. He's always out there. We're messing with them. It's a 2003 element and a 2011 element. They're both automatics. So was the Integra's automatic as well. And the SI was a manual. I forgot to mention that. K-series, but I think all the engines we've had in those cars are all K-series, except your Civic had an H-series in it.
No, mine had a B-series in it.
Yeah, yours had a B-series, mine had an F-series, or has an F-series, and then there's an H-series, or a B-series in my... No, that wasn't a B-series. That was an H-series.
Mine? The red Civic?
Yeah.
That was a B-series, yeah.
Oh, really? Damn. I have a B series and the next Civic I'm going to talk about, which is a little EG sedan that I'm working on right now. Try to get to daily manual. It's pretty nice. Has an amp in it. It's pretty cool. We're going to lower it soon enough here, and hopefully it'll be up and running. We're replacing the oil pump, the water pump, and the. So we've, I guess the last Honda. So I guess we have not had 10 was the. What? We're trying to think. Or we might have not had it. Have we had another one?
Another what, Honda?
Yeah. I mean, we've had the CRV, but that wasn't really ours either. Like,
I have a CRV. I had a CRV.
Oh yeah, no, you did, huh? We've also owned.
It was my grandma's old car.
I thought she had a Pontiac.
No, she has a CRV, a Honda CRV.
So does my stepmom right now. Those are pretty cool, but I mean, again, not really our cars. I think the last I remember it. The S2000 that had nothing in it. we thought we could fix that. That did not happen.
I wonder how that even happened. Like, what did homeboy do to that thing to just clap it out that hard?
That thing had no engine. That had, like, nothing on it. Like, I don't even know why we picked it up. We were going to put an engine in it, and the engine actually ended up being for a had a Honda head on it for some reason. Or something.
But it was a Nissan engine. You remember that?
Yeah, that was really weird. I don't even know how they did, how that was possible.
I don't know either.
Because Nissan engines, dude, I don't even know how they did that. It was crazy. We basically got scammed $5,000 for. We tried to get a K series engine. It was not a K series, and then we tried to put it in the car, and then we put the transmission in, and it messed everything up. And we were like, we're not dealing with this. Sold it off for.
What was it? $3,000.
Yeah, we sold the body off for like $3,000. And parted out the engine and transmission, kind of. I mean, the transmission was okay. The engine was not.
Engine was not okay.
We kind of scrapped it, but I guess that will end our interview off today, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it was nice having you here, Colin, up from Jefferson, you know, two-hour drive.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And I guess we'll catch you last time. This was Coy from KBPS.
Well, Portland, Oregon, and slow gin fizz. If that ain't love, then tell me what is, Well,
isn't changing, I suppose. It's too late to turn back. Here we go. Portland. Oh no. It's too
on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Now through December 31st, PRP is part of Willamette Week Give Guide fundraising campaign, where donors can support their favorite nonprofits and get some awesome incentives in return. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click the big red heart. KBPS on PRP, the new student show airing on Portland Radio Project. Featuring Benson High School KBPS radio students. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School, staffed by students while they learn about the communications and broadcast industry. Streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial. KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station, closely tuned into Portland. On the dial at 99.1 FM in the heart of Portland and streaming worldwide from any computer at prp.fm. This concludes our show for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joe Anderson, and this has been an hour with KBPS on PRP.